Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the E Tacticus podcast. We are here on a Tuesday after a great weekend where Real Madrid scored 5 goals and Vinicius and Camavinga are pulling away from Ansu and Pedri in the GOAT debates. And offense is back on the menu, boys. Defensive chaos is back on the menu. And we are here to talk about Champions League. We have 4 really big games in the Champions League. Barca, Bayern, Real, Inter, Villarreal, Atalanta, Atletico Porto, all bangers, all headliners to talk about. So we are here to start getting underway on that process. And obviously, Diego Lorin is here as well. Diego, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm mixed feelings about tonight's match. Excited that the Champions League is back, of course. But to have to start this European top competition with a juggernaut of a beast coming to visit the Camp Nou, that instantly, of course, brings back memories of that traumatic 8-2 thumping that we received the last time that we saw them. It's needless to say that, yes, I've got mixed feelings about this one. And also, leave Ansu out of your mouth, please. The man is still injured. The boy, the kid is still injured. All right? Before we make comparisons. I know this ties into what we talked about last time. I mean, Beanie has had a great weekend, and he's doing good. The boy's doing good.
I'm full of smiles today after that performance. But look, it's a little bit unfair to you because Barca didn't even play this weekend. So who knows? You could have won 6-0, and
6 goals from Luke.
With six goals from Luke de Jong, that would be a hell of an intro for you to take. So how are you feeling about tonight's game? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Do you feel like something bad is coming, or do you feel confident that this new look Barca could maybe surprise us and give us something special?
A little bit of all of the above, actually, Kian. And initially, I mean, right off the bat, like I said, obviously, anxiety or fear, rather, is certainly an overwhelming emotion when thinking of what tonight can happen. It's, I think, fair to say that right now the confidence in head coach Ronald Koeman is not at his highest point. This international break has been full of sort of back and forth statements, indirect statements for that matter, between Koeman and club president Joan Laporta. And, you know, from what we have seen as well as the season, or yeah, since the beginning of the season from the team, it doesn't inspire the most amount of confidence that this team has ever managed to emit. And you know, add to that, of course, the long list of injuries, in particular up top, where Koeman will not be able to count on players the likes of Ansu, Dembele, Kun Agüero, for that matter. Braithwaite now also out for 4 months, roughly. You know, it leaves you with a front line of Memphis, Luke. And if Koeman were to be daring, maybe Yusuf, maybe Collado. Most people, and I would agree, you know, I would probably agree to that, are of the assumption that Koeman will come out with a defensive line of five, and so five defenders. And that in and of itself already goes against the grain, goes against what many, you know, believe that ought to be Barca's philosophy, attacking philosophy, which is an unconditional 4-3-3 formation, an unconditional rather, and you know, we should never stray away from that. So I think there's a lot of fear surrounding this match that we could perhaps relive a night where, you know, we get embarrassed. Now, it also, I think, to add to that, when we talk about confidence and why I have mixed feelings, is because over these past, what has it been, 10, 12 years, whenever Barca has started the league, the Champions League campaign at home, we've never lost. In fact, we've always started out the Champions League campaigns winning in emphatic manner, in convincing manner, by a large goal margins. And You could argue, certainly the case can be made, that Barca's never had to face, you know, one of the most informed sides of Europe at the beginning of the Champions League campaign. I think that's true. I think the most, the biggest, let's say, team that we've had to face in opening games in the Champions League were Juventus, AC Milan, Ajax, and I might be missing one, but I believe that those three, certainly at the top of the list. But we need to hold on to something. I think, you know, if we kind of come out tonight with our shoulders shrugging, saying, well, you know, Bayern are the better side and we have nothing to do or to say against them, I think that's, you know, the wrong attitude to take. And I would sincerely hope that these players come out with more of a chip on their shoulder, and the coach as well, for that matter, and come out with the intention of having something to prove. But at the same time, being very realistic, Kian, and I'm not going to lie by saying that, you know, right now I think a draw would be as good as good of a result of any, for that matter. What I'm saying is I'll sign on for a draw at this point.
If I was a Barca fan, I would too. And I mean, look, you're both going to qualify from this group. I think that's pretty, yeah. I think everyone's pretty confident about that. But you do want to go in with as much momentum as possible into the next round, and as much pride as possible and confidence. And I look at this as, like, if I'm a Barca fan, I would have been a lot more confident heading into this game if you actually have everyone available. It really sucks that you don't have everyone available, because you look at Bayern's team, they're pretty much healthy. I mean, Gnabry is the one notable absentee, but other than that, Alphonso Davies is in the squad after picking up something on the international break with the great Canadian national team. Pavard and Lucas Hernandez are back, which basically picks their starting back line pretty easily. I suppose it depends on what they do with Sule, they put him on the right or Pavard on the right, or who they put in the middle. It doesn't matter, but they have a pretty full strength lineup, and they're in form, and Lewandowski might be the most informed player in the world right now. I don't know, but it's just...
Well, he was a doubt, but he will play, but he was a doubt until yesterday. Yeah,
it looks like he's in. I guess my point is, if from the beginning and you just had healthy Ansu there, healthy Dembu's there, this lineup with these young players at their full health, at their peak, is actually a pretty decently exciting core to roll with for the future in the post-Messi era. But it's just a variability of the health, and obviously Ansu and Dembu's aren't there. And one name you didn't mention in your lineup, and I'm just curious, I don't know if you forgot him or it's because maybe it's just not realistic, but a name that I thought of is, what are the chances we see Coutinho in a game like this with with the injuries, maybe as a left attacking forward. Do you think that's on the table or no?
Not yet. Listening to Koeman's press conference yesterday, I don't think that, not as a start. You know, I think he will count on Coutinho as the season progresses, but, and he said, you know, he needs minutes. So by that, I'm, I guess, implying that he will give him minutes, but not minutes right off the bat, as opposed to a Luke de Jong. I think we'll see Sergio Roberto be included in the starting 11. I think that's why we'll see a back line of three of, say, Longley, Piqué, and Araujo, excuse me. Probably, and with Jordi Alba and Sergio Roberto as the, you know, the fullbacks running up and down the pitch. That's what I imagine with just two up then, Luke de Jong and Memphis.
Are you going to be at the Camp Nou tonight?
No, I'll be hosting a show from the studios.
Okay. Are we going to pretend that the whole off the field stuff is not going to happen? It's not happening, like the Bartomeu and all the things that have been discovered like in the last 24 hours. Is this a football podcast?
The Bartomeu stuff?
Yeah. Are we going to dive into that at all? You want to save it for Friday?
No, jump in. Like what? I didn't know there was Bartomeu news. I know there's a lot of stuff being said between Laporta and Koeman, I thought. But
well,
what's the Bartomeu news?
I honestly, if you're asking me, then this podcast is in a bad situation right now because you're the one who's supposed to know this stuff more than I am. But there were just more proof of a couple things that I read this morning. Mm-hmm. One is that they found at least four Twitter accounts that they can now basically prove that were pushing things on his agenda. That were managed by that social media company. The other one was that he actually took a lot of the club's money and pumped it into anti-Catalan independence initiatives. I don't want to elaborate any more on that because that's all I know, and I'm not the person, I'm not the expert to talk about it. But I guess this is a long-winded way of saying this, in addition with the Koeman Laporta stuff. Koeman, by the way, said the relationship is fine, so take that with for what you will. But do any of these off-field distractions matter? Does it affect the team?
Again, I'm surprised that I haven't heard about it or read about it. I'm not surprised at all by the revelations. I think that the proof already that come out was pretty self-explanatory. What bothers me much more are the statements coming from the Bayern camp of your Hennesses and company, where they say that basically Barca used to be a model that they were trying to follow and replicate, but that nowadays it's not at all, and that it's a club in disarray, and that everything has been done wrong. Basically, it just those kind of comments, mainly because the truth hurts, I guess, are kind of comments that that are bothering me more than, let's say, Bartomeu revelation. I was gonna say revelation or another Bartomeu.
It's like basically revealing that the sky is blue with clouds,
right?
Yeah, we know
exactly.
For the listener's sake, here's the quote from Uli Hoeneß. He says, "David Alaba once told me, my dream is still to play in Barcelona one day. Then I said to him, do you want to negotiate with the president or with the insolvency administrator? Barca is no longer the role model for us." Now, to be fair, a lot of this is probably directed at the previous regime, although maybe there is still concern that Barca, whether they can pay their debts or not. So this is something, I don't know if you remember this, but Uli Hoeneß also had a quote about Sami Kufur, who used to play for Bayern, obviously, and Kufur wanted to go to La Liga. And he also said publicly, don't go to Spain because they won't pay you on time. They're behind on payroll. So he's said stuff like this in the past. I suppose it's, these are kind of shots fired things to say before a game that whatever, they seem unnecessary to kind of randomly just throw in there, but I don't really have the context for this quote entirely. But so there is a little bit of maybe off field, just, do you think, tension heading into this game, which makes the game on the field potentially more fun. So I'm all for it. What about on the field? Is there any other thoughts that you had? You know, I'm kind of interested to see Alphonso Davies versus whoever you guys play on the right, whether it's, well, who do you think will play right back?
Sorry, there's pots and pans slammed around in the background.
Is it Bartomeu and Laporta in your kitchen?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, you said you're looking forward to which matchup?
Davies versus whoever's on your right wing. So, tell me, like, just walk me through who you think is going to play there.
It would. Like I said, I think we're going to see Sergio Roberto out on the right. So do I look forward to seeing Davies blast by Sergio Roberto? It's not really something I'm looking forward to. Look, I'm interested in seeing how the midfield will link up.
Sorry, I was just going to ask you, what any chance that Mingueza might start at right back? We've seen Mingueza play right back before.
We have. I don't know. I don't know if Mingueza's form right now allow Koeman to have enough trust in him to play as a starter. We've seen him use Roberto as kind of his go-to when it comes to different positions on a field, whether it's in the field or as a fullback. Now, I prefer Roberto as a fullback, I have to say. But that said, it's not a player that inspires necessarily a lot of confidence, neither, with what we've seen from him. I think we've seen solid performances, not stellar performances, come from Sergio Roberto, and with everything that Bayern will be, throwing at us from the right side with Gnabry and Davies, I think they'll have their work cut out for them. Like I said, what I'm more keen on seeing is how the young Pedri and Busquets will link up with two forwards, the likes of Memphis and Luke. I'm interested to see if Memphis and Luke, maybe hit their stride and get back into the form of their PSV days, PSV days. Who knows? But, this match for me is coming a little bit too soon, and I think it's in one way maybe good to get it out of the way, in the fact that we're allowed to face, or that we're facing Bayern at home, certainly adds a little bit of positivity for Barca, for the reasons that I just explained before, because Barca tends to hit the ground running in a positive way in the Champions League. But right now, with all the injuries the fact that Bayern are in fact in really good form, I thought initially seeing that they've had a change of management, with Flick going out and Nagelsmann coming in, that they needed more time to adjust. Their preseason was pretty underwhelming, but ever since then, I mean, they've once again showed the incredible form and incredible team that they are. They're like a well-oiled machine where, players like Alaba can come out and they don't really seem to notice or care, as Lewandowski continues to be older but still scores a ton of goals. They put 12 past Bremen, I think it was, and also over the weekend facing Leipzig, beating them comfortably. Leipzig, a side that, of course, is a very good side themselves. So, right now, this for me is coming at the wrong time. And it's hard for me to answer your question truthfully, Kiana, at this point. If you know, is there any matchup that I'm excited to see? Excited is the wrong word. It's more like, are there matchups that I'm dreading to see? And then, you know, I could fill up an entire podcast talking about that.
Well, it's an interesting point that you bring up. Like, maybe you would have rather this matchup to come in March, after Ansu and Dembouz have had like 2 months maybe of playing together with Memphis and Pedri, De Jong. They're all in stride. Everything looks good. Having said that, I think it's also valid to think, well, let's get this out of the way now. And to make you feel any better, regardless of what happens tonight, I don't think it means that much for the rest of the season. This is still far from what Barca's potential will be. Not everyone's available. And to make you feel better, even if it goes really bad, in the 1999-2000 season, Real Madrid played Bayern Munich twice in the group stages. We lost 4-1 in Munich and 4-2 in the Bernabeu and got absolutely, absolutely annihilated. And then we won the Champions League that year. And so I don't know if that makes you feel better or not, or it just makes you revisit the pain of Real Madrid being shitty and still winning the Champions
still
League.
Still winning Champions Leagues. So more that.
Yeah. So, but my point is, whatever happens tonight does not really impact how the season is going to go. Yeah.
Well, no, but I'll tell you something else. If Koeman loses tonight, loses against Atletico in early October, and then the Clásico in late October, Jordi Cruyff is sitting just next to Laporta.
Jordi Cruyff? But he's not going to be the coach.
And I think there's a reason for that. I don't know. I'm planting a seed, Kian.
This is patron edition stuff, man. You can't be just giving away all this juice on the free episode.
That's true. I'll delve into it more in Friday.
All right. Well, you know, that is a long way away. The Clásico is over a month away, almost 2 months away, really. So let's see. This is all premature talk, but I do like where you're going with this. So there's no chance that we would drag Xabi in mid-season, right? He wants to have the full season if that happens.
Yeah.
All right. I can tell you don't want to go too deep on this. So
no, let's leave it. You just remind me that it's Tuesday night, Friday. So
yeah, all right. So Villarreal versus Atalanta.
This is an interesting one, I think, because I think both teams are actually surprising me at how they're underperforming, in particular in the case of Villarreal. Team that we're used to seeing more on a weekly basis, at least I am, as opposed to Atalanta. But you know, you're talking about a European champion. You're talking about a team that just lost out in the Super Cup against Chelsea on penalties. And it seems ever since then that things have sort of taken a turn for the worse for this team that are just not on a good streak right now, coming off of several draws against Granada, I believe it was, Espanyol and Atleti, of course. But a team that I think we're all expecting from, they're about mid-table in La Liga now, and no wins. I mean, that's the big thing. No wins for Villarreal, and they're going to face an Atalanta side as well that is not the Atalanta that we're used to talking about over these past few seasons. So, you know, what to expect? I think if you're a Villarreal fan, you have to kind of, take this game for what it is, and it potentially being a trampoline to finally get your season off to, or you know, kickstart your season and get a win in, because the Italian team, I think, usually an ultra offensive team is right for the picking. They're vulnerable right now, but that is not straight away too far from philosophy. So Gerard Moreno and company, led by Dani Parejo, of course, need to take away good sensations, and if possible, a win as well, of course, from this game.
I actually like I like Villarreal's ceiling in big games like this, and I think despite their struggles in the league, I feel like in a game like this, they can kind of elevate and do something different. And I have watched Atalanta actually over the weekend, because I was watching them just by chance because they were playing against Fiorentina, where Odriozola made his debut for them. So I was tracking his performance in that game. And I can tell you that, like you rightfully said, this is not the same Atalanta we grew up with, or grew up with, that's strong. That, like, in the last 2-3 years, rather, that we've seen under Gasperini. And quite frankly, even last year, it was not the same Atalanta team. They were able to cope with losing Papu Gomez because their scheme has been really good. But even still, they struggle defensively, as they always have. They play that high line. And also, Muriel is injured, who has been an important goal scorer for them. And Ilicic isn't playing as well he used to. And it's a lot of this is on Zapata, and he's kind of alone. And Fiorentina are not that great of a defensive team. And Atalanta really couldn't take advantage of that. And they made defensive mistakes as well. But one of the things that I'm curious about is how Emery will approach this, because I don't think Parejo is back yet. And
I think he is.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if he is
for this.
Okay. If that's the case, I didn't know that. If that's the case, that changes a lot. Because one of the things I was going to say is Emery likes to have control of the game. He likes to impose his style of play. But at the same time, he's a pretty conservative manager. So if he doesn't feel like he can do that in a given game, he will play a little bit more compact and counterattacking scheme. Because without Parejo, it's also more difficult to impose your control and have that kind of possession style game. So if you're going to play a little bit deeper and more compact, you can actually take advantage of this Atalanta team in that sense. And I think it'll be easier to break them down that way. I'm just curious to see how that's approached. And if Parejo is playing, then that's a huge game changer, because I honestly thought he was still injured. And if he does play, I guess it remains to be seen what version of him we see and stuff like that. But, so that's an interesting one. I'm going to predict Villarreal come away with that one.
They need it.
With a win. Yeah.
They need it. And I think in particular, that's why I mentioned the name of Parejo, knowing just how instrumental what a pivotal role, as such a key player he is to this team. With his return, obviously, I would imagine, the entire midfield and, of course, front line just operating a lot better the link up between Dani and Gerard Moreno. But as well, Trigueros and the other midfielders coming into their form. I think Pau in the back remains sort of their leader in defense. But you need, of course, also somebody to dictate the pace and the offense of the team. And I think really that's where Dani Parejo makes his mark on this squad.
Tomorrow's games, bro. Couple bangers there as well. So Real Madrid against Inter Milan. Yeah. And this is not the same Inter team of last season. Mind you, in Europe, actually, Inter struggled last season as well. But they figured it out. And domestically, they obviously won the league. But they had so many layers of paint taken off that team, from Lukaku to Achraf to Conte. And right now, they have Dzeko and Lautaro up front. And I've been watching them here and there. The last couple of games, they've struggled. And here's what I'm worried about from a Real Madrid perspective. Our left back situation, no es bueno. Marcelo injured. Alaba made the match day squad. I don't know if he's going to play. Hopefully he will. If he does, obviously that changes a lot. But even he leaves space behind him. Mendy's fitness struggles are starting to get a little bit better documented. He hasn't played since last season. He got a relapse again yesterday. And Inter are a team that can find those runs in behind the wingbacks. That's what they've done. And that's something I've noticed them this season from what I've seen. So if Miguel Gutierrez plays there, or even if Alaba plays there, you're going to need just better positioning to cover for them, because I think Inter are really good at hitting that ball down the flank. That's what I'm worried about. Not the same Inter team, but a different and still can do damage against you. How are you feeling about that one? Obviously, your feeling is you want Inter to win and all that stuff, but, you know, do you have any
thoughts? Yeah, no, look, I think clearly I want Inter to win, but, you know, when was the last time that Inter Milan ever beat Real Madrid? You know, I think we need to go very, very far back to even remember when Inter managed to beat Madrid, because lost five times that they played Real Madrid, and just seeing the way that Real Madrid is are hitting their form, hitting their stride already so early into the season, with you know, Ancelotti really making this team click. It was an incredible performance against Celta over the weekend, a game that I funny enough, enjoyed watching, despite you know, obviously Madrid coming out the winning team. It was a good game. It was a very good game where I think Celta gave it all they had, and Madrid, on the hand, simply outpaced them and outscored them, showing that they were the better side. And I think that's what we're going to see tomorrow as well in the San Siro. I don't see how Inter can compete with Real Madrid that's, you know, firing from cylinders the way they have been of late. And they're just a better team and in better form. So I think it's going to be a comfortable win for Madrid over Milan. You know, a more experienced coach as well than Ancelotti facing Inzaghi, that has got a, you know, an uphill battle. He talked about all the key players that left, in particular Lukaku, of course. And I don't know Inzaghi well enough as a manager to say comfortably, or confidently rather, that he would be able to put up a fight against a much more savvy and experienced manager in Ancelotti, that so quickly seems to have put the pieces of the puzzle together for Madrid and made them into at least, you know, a very solid and competitive team. So easy victory, comfortable victory for Madrid tomorrow.
To answer your question, when was the last time Inter beat Real Madrid? I don't know if this is actually the last time, but it feels like it would be the last time. But one of the first Champions League games I ever watched as a kid was Real Madrid versus Inter in 1998. They beat us 3-1 in the group stages. We were in the same group as them. And that was when Roberto Baggio scored 2 late goals against us. And that was when Seedorf was still with us before moving to Inter. And that was like, you know, you and I love talking about 90s nostalgia and Sean Kemp and those guys. And that Inter team had that feeling to me, where it was, they had Zamorano and Ronaldo Nazario up top. And obviously Roberto Baggio a little bit later in his career, but still there and still at a pretty high level. And Javier Zanetti, Dzhor Kayev, who is a FIFA 98 legend. And so I think that may have been last time. I should maybe double check that, but certainly, like, you know, we were pretty comfortable against them last season as well in the Champions League, and that was under Conte, and obviously just a different circumstance. But I'm curious to see if Inter can exploit Real Madrid's wingback situation right now, and obviously we have defensive issues. That's one thing that you haven't touched on much, but defensively this team is still pretty frail. So we've been good enough offensively that we've been able to compensate for that, which is a Real Madrid's fan dream, to be honest. Just the ability to outscore your opponent and outmask your defensive deficiencies is basically how we won like every Champions League title ever. So this is good for us. It's more entertaining than it has been in previous years. So
Yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, if you have a player like Luka Modric, a 36-year-old midfielder that is talking, if he's, you know, in his peak, in his mid-20s, you got to be feeling pretty confident and about your chances of beating an Inter side that is going to be depending on who, on Dzeko, a 35-year-old, you know, striker that's
Lautaro's been pretty good, to be fair.
made his rounds.
Barella is good. Darmian is a pretty good, from what I've seen on the right back. But we
you
also
gotta
don't
be
have
liking your
Kroos. Don't
chances.
forget about that. We don't have Kroos either. Yeah, who's the greatest center midfielder of all time, and is just fantastic, and also comes from an incredible nation. So that's
Jesus Christ.
all right. Let's talk about another banger tomorrow, and then after this one, we can probably wrap it up. Atletico versus Porto. We haven't talked about the league, but obviously this was the controversial Atletico coming off that controversial 99th minute winner against Espanyol, which probably Barca fans really enjoyed, to be honest, but Espanyol fans certainly did not. And I don't know, there's a lot of controversy on how much injury time was added and stuff. I've also seen reports on, like, if you did the whole stop clock thing, it actually does add up, and 10 minutes does add up. So I don't know if that's true or not, but either way, it was a late winner. And Atletico, I still have a lot of questions about this Atletico team, and I don't really know much about Porto to know to kind of preview that from a tactical perspective, but I can give my Atletico thoughts in that Simeone has this challenge of, with all these attacking signings, to fit these guys in and play a certain brand of football. And they struggle to hold possession and break Espanyol's low block, especially in that first half. And with your Griezmanns, your João Felixes, to me, like, the problem to a large extent, their most important attacking players will be the Carrascos, the Correas, and the Llorentes, because those are the ones who are going to be dribbling through players and breaking lines and being a little bit more unpredictable with that stuff. And so while they have, which is, to be honest, it's a nice balance to have both the Griezmanns, João Felix type players plus those dribblers. But it is a challenge still to fit those in and be able to break down defensive teams who now know that Atletico are not necessarily going to be a counter-attacking team all the time. And I'll be curious to know how Porto approaches, not only how much context on them, but that's another fascinating one. And Atletico are just a fascinating team for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, they are still a side. They are still a side that is, I guess, adjusting and getting used to having their star player return. A Griezmann that was invisible, I think. It looked like the Barça Griezmann that was out there against Espanyol. They also show a lot more defensive, I think, vulnerability. So far, they've managed to score 7 goals, but conceding 4, which is not something that we're necessarily used to from a Cholo Simeone side. And I think, you know, already early on, the questions are starting to be asked, well, who is going to be that team leader? Who's going to be the guy for Cholo that is gonna, you know, grind out the matches when the going gets tough and you know, rally the team together. And right now, I would put my money on Correa. You know, I think Correa, besides being, I think their main goal scorer, top goal scorer at the moment. I might be wrong with that, but he kind
Yeah,
of
he is.
seems like the Cholo go-to guy. He is there, okay. The Cholo go-to guy to, you know, I guess to get this team out of hot water when need be. And the other big question I have is, where does Griezmann fit in at this point? Will we see him in the starting 11 tomorrow or not? You know, are we going to see a Griezmann that we did in his initial season when he came to Atleti? Or are we going to see a continuation of Griezmann that we saw over at Barca? because despite the Griezmann that we saw with France over the international break, a very good Griezmann, probably, you know, in his best form, that certainly wasn't the case over the weekend. And, you know, Carlos got a big challenge ahead of him, trying to, I guess, adapt his system and to get the best out of Antoine. But there right now, you know, I think your assessment or rather your doubts about this team are well placed and fair, because they're showing some frailty. They're not playing like league champions at the moment. You know, you don't sense the fear factor neither in the opponents. And like you said, they needed 10 minutes, you know, to grind out the win against Espanyol, a recently promoted Espanyol side. So yeah, plenty of things still to work on the table to do there for Cholo.
Yeah, it's a challenge now. Like, they don't, the fact that they don't necessarily look like quote unquote league champions right now is not something that probably bothers them or anything they care about from an aesthetic football perspective, because, you know, in years past it's 1-0s. Currently it's 2-1s that they're winning. And I don't really care. I don't think that they care much how it looks, but they will care about like just making it work ultimately. And yeah, I mean, my personal belief or fetish or whatever you want to call it when it comes to football philosophy is like, how can we fit the best attacking players in the team? Because that's just the most fun that I have. Like, and if we can fit Griezmann and Llorente and Zhao together and Carrasco and like it's in Suarez, it's hard to do, but if you can make it work, it's just more fun to do it that way. And also, how can you unlock the Griezmann of France, who just looked unstoppable over the international break? It's hard to do, especially the way Atletico play, and also especially the way teams defend in La Liga. So
I will say that I think it's very important for Atletico to get a win against Porto tonight, or tomorrow rather, you know, seeing as they'll have to face Liverpool next. So this is a big one for them to get those 3 points.
Yeah,
at home.
Yeah. Okay, do you maybe you should go clean up your kitchen after what's happening.
Right, can you
there?
Hear all that?
Yeah,
god. Yeah, dude, sorry.
Well, there's still
no, we're glancing over Sevilla Salzburg here.
Oh my god.
But no, just on that topic, excuse me while I scream over to the person making all that. Thank you.
This is going to be dropped the ball on the Sevilla thing. I can't even. This is one of my lowest moments.
This is going to be a big one for Sevilla. I don't think. I'll tell you what. My money's on Salzburg. From what I've seen from Salzburg, you know, they beat Atletico over in the preseason. They beat Barca as well. They were a team that just seemed so fit and so in form. I think they are playing in a Sanchez-Pizjuan, however, which does change the matter, because at home they were a very fierce side with very passionate fans. But they're just a team that's used to winning all of the time. I think they've got a lot of confidence as well now, after having faced the Spanish champion and a side like Barça, and having somewhat comfortably beaten both. So why not beat Sevilla as well? I think that's how they're probably approaching this match. And for Sevilla, this one will be, I think a bigger test than some people might think.
Thank you for that. And thank you for remembering that, that Sevilla exists. I'm sorry. I have nothing to add on top of that analysis. So you and I will be back on Friday. That's the plan, right? We'll recap all these Champions League games and wish you the best tonight. Hopefully you guys get some kind of moral victory. I'm sure these things tend to go much better than we anticipate, and it'll probably be much more even than we think. So good luck tonight.
I'll finish what Kun Agüero said in a recent interview. He said, "Ojito con este Barça." He said, "Be careful with this Barça." You talked about all the pressure being off, the fact that a lot of players will be eager to prove themselves. So, and he said as well, look, on paper, this squad has got a lot of talent. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe they will surprise us.
Certainly, they have midfielders who can control the game, which is much needed against Bayern. And certainly, you have an attacking presence in Memphis that can also hurt them defensively. So, yeah, maybe it won't be so bad. All right, Diego, this was fun. Thank you so much,
goodbye,
my friend.
Buddy.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.